Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm Matt.
I'm Dory.
This is Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure, a show that was about IVF while we were going through it, and now that we're not going through it currently, it's still about IVF. You tuned into the right place. What's new out there in Dory land?
What is new? Henry has gotten very potty curious.
Yeah, he's dabbling, everyone.
He's dabbling.
In the art of the potty. So, I don't know. I mean, like, he was, like, on board. It's funny. Dory will sometimes say something into the monitor, which has a microphone and a speaker on it. And Henry thinks that sometimes Mom lives inside of the camera. So he'll point to it and he'll say, Mama. And, you know, I'll look at it. And if she's still sleeping, I can tell because she hasn't moved the camera. But today, I caught her in the act. And then she said hello in a voice that I would describe as deeper than mine. It was your morning, that morning husk.
Hello.
Yeah. And then you asked if we wanted to go potty through the speaker. And he said yes. And then the second I put him on the ground, put him on his feet and said, all right, let's go to the potty. He said, no, Mama, in there. And he was pointing at the camera. So, Dory claims he's used the potty. I've never seen it in action. I mean, I've seen him sitting on it, but I've never seen him actually use it. Like, you and Gilma both claim that it has happened. I don't know if I believe it still.
It has happened many times.
Look, I've never seen it.
Well,
therefore, I don't believe it.
Okay.
So it made me a bad religious person.
You have so much doubt.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't believe it. I haven't seen it. Next.
Yeah, so this has happened a few times in the last couple of days where, like, I will go to change his diaper and he'll say, pee-pee, pee-pee. And I'll say, do you want to go pee-pee in the potty? And he'll say, yes. And then he'll go to the potty and he'll pee in the potty.
There you go.
But I asked him if he wanted to just be naked and not wear a diaper. And he said no. So I was like, okay.
So we'll keep you abreast of his potty tendencies. I know that's why you all tune in every week.
Yeah. Other than that, not a ton to report.
It is the dog days of August, you know?
Yeah.
It's sort of like that sort of, especially the 2 weeks before
Labor Day. Yeah.
It's just sort of like we're all, the world, the everyone's just sort of winding down.
Yeah, it does feel that way.
Or winding up, I guess.
Mm.
But in the process, also winding down.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I do.
It's like a really good episode of Pete and Pete, sort of about just this kind of time, you know?
Really?
Yep. I missed that show. It's a good show. There's a payphone in the middle of town that's ringing that no one has ever answered.
Oh.
And it turns out it's the telephone worker who used to date Pete's mom calling in hopes that she'll pick up.
Oh.
It's a great episode. Everyone's like delusional. There's like a freeze tag game happening.
I was a little too old for Pete and Pete.
You actually weren't, though.
I missed it.
Because it was good enough that you would have enjoyed it still. I mean, you'd still enjoy it, I think.
I know, but I think when it came out, it felt like I was too old for it.
Right.
Sure,
it was on Nickelodeon, and you were in college. So, it's all good.
So, yeah. So, it kind of felt like that. What's new with you?
Nothing. I'm just trying to sort of fill my time in a meaningful way, which mm-hmm. has been a struggle for me. Often with free time, I don't know what to do with it. So, particularly as like Goldberg's has gone back to shooting and I'm not there.
Mm.
It feels really like, well, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do. Luckily, I'm still getting to play some golf. But that, you know, that's over by 7:20 in the morning. I'm like, well, that was what I did with my day. But that's getting later and later because I don't know if you're familiar with the sun, everybody, but it seems to be rising later.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really looking forward to daylight savings. Isn't that weird? I want that. I want to fall back.
Oh, sure.
I want it to, right? Don't I want it to fall back?
Yeah.
No, wait, I don't.
No.
Oh, no, it's going to be worse.
Wait.
If it falls, so if it's 6 a.m., it actually becomes 5 a.m.
Yeah, so you do want it to fall back. If you were trying to have it stay light later, you do not want it to fall back.
Don't care about that.
Yeah, that's not an issue for
Matt wants light in the morning.
Yeah.
Like a weirdo. Like okay. A weird old man.
Well, you just have to wait till November.
I know. I hope you're all looking forward to Movember. I'll be growing mustaches. I mean, honestly, it's weird. It's a weird time for me. And I really am like, I don't know. I have stuff that is sort of occupying me. Like I have like stuff I'm working on television wise, but the problem with it is it's not structured and there's no particular deadline.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I have to do a Directors Guild orientation on Saturday of next week.
Are you excited?
It's going to take, it's literally from 8 to 5. And, you know, you have to, if you're ever in television, first time director to television, you have to take a DGA course. Usually it's in person, obviously with the pandemic, it's going to be over Zoom. And, you know, I don't know what it's going to be like. I feel like it's all information I already know and have, but, like, there's, like, homework. It's like, they send me, like, you know, 7 pages of Ugly Betty that I got to look at. And then, I don't know.
Can you fail the class?
Can you fail it? I doubt it. You already have a contract.
I mean, maybe you'll learn something.
No, I hope to. I'm not.
You're kind of poo-pooing it.
Well, I'm poo-pooing the 8 hours on a Saturday on a Zoom.
Yeah, but like, don't you think they assume that people are working and
No, I get it. But even if it was 8 hours on a Tuesday, I'd be poo-pooing.
You think it should be spread out?
Yes, I think it should be like 2 days.
Yeah, I hear that.
You know, 4 hours a pop.
Yeah, 8 hours is a long day.
It's a lot to hold your attention, especially over a Zoom.
8 to 5 is actually 9 hours.
Well, there you go. That's a lot.
That's a lot. So I agree with you.
But anyway, it's one of those weird quirks, those weird Hollywood quirks, everybody.
Mm. But then you'll finish and you'll be in the DGA.
Well, no. Then I'll actually have to, I think I have to then direct.
Oh, I see.
Then pay them their initiation fee, which is a lot of thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And join the guild. Join the next guild. I'm collected the guilds, everybody.
When are you going to join the
PGA?
PGA.
That's the last one. I need the Professional Golfers Association. Or the Producers Guild of America. Which, I don't know. That's an interesting one.
How does one get into the PGA?
That I don't know. I don't know. But I'll be DGA, SAG, WGA. So, look out, health insurance.
You definitely didn't make the SAG minimum to get the health insurance this year.
Not this year.
So.
Did I do anything this year?
No.
No, I think I got a residual check from an episode of At Midnight.
Oh.
It was like probably 28 cents or something like that.
So. Well, there you go.
I made 28 cents in 2020.
Okay.
So it was a tough time, tough year for all of us actors.
Someone was asking me about your directing And they were like, oh, well, he'll be in the DGA. That's the best guild. I was like, okay.
In some ways it is. In many ways, actually. The guild usually gets their shit together quicker, negotiating with the MPAA and stuff like that. Often refusing to negotiate with any of the other guilds. Sort of like, eh, we'll do our own thing. Thanks, guys. Bye. Yeah.
I mean, I guess they're the least replaceable guild.
I beg to differ.
Writers?
Yeah.
No, I mean, but like, there's more writers than there are directors, is what I mean.
Is that true?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. I don't know what the membership of a director's guild is versus a writer's guild. I mean, I guess... Although, you know, you think about the course of a television season, you might have like 10 different directors in there.
18,600 directors.
Oh. That's it?
And the WGA... No, the WGA has 10,559 full members and 13,881 other members. That's WGA West.
That's us. That's the one. So I think then the DGA has more than us, than the Writers Guild.
Yeah, I was wrong.
I am a member. I'm going to be a member of all the guilds. And then soon, hopefully, somebody will include me in their Dungeons and Dragons guild. But yes. Anyway, that's a little fun inside information for you guys about how TV works. You can't direct anything until you do an orientation class. The orientation class is on a weekend. Anyway.
Well, before we take a break, I want to read a book email.
Oh, book portion.
And it's from Marina. And she says, hi, Matt, Dory, Henry, and Beau. If you're still doing a book portion of the podcast, I just want to say that, Dory, I'm almost done with your book, and I'm loving it. I just couldn't put it down. I couldn't put it down this weekend, and so looked forward to learning where your life ended up, even though I already know the ending through listening to your pod for 3+ years now. I so relate to what you said about not knowing the rules of the girl code. Where do they teach making hats from ribbons, and why is this a thing? I still feel that way, through becoming a mom, but I'm more okay with just being myself and knowing that I am who I am and accepting that I'm the mom my kids ended up with and that I don't have to fit any mold of an ideal woman mom/mom. Love the story about Henry at CVS. Sorry, 2-year-olds are rough. You can't take them anywhere, but there's light at the end of the tunnel. I also have a 5-year-old and I can just take him to Target now with no carts and spend at least 30 minutes there, mask, don't worry, just going through the aisles and picking out what we need. It's magical. Take care. Marina, your resident witch, apparently. I never threw up once with either pregnancy and felt mostly okay while working full time. I'm sorry, I'm the worst. From Natick, Massachusetts, 2,100 square feet, 2 adults, 2 kids, 1 hot dog for me over 4th of July weekend, and countless for my 5-year-old who loves them.
Oh, that's, I wanted to update everyone, hot dog count. Today I had a Costco hot dog.
Wow.
Because by the time I got out of what I would describe is the pandemonium of the Atwater Village Costco, the hot dog line was in bizarrely short.
Wow. So
there was one lady in, line.
Wow.
And I was like, you know, let me see what this all beef hot dog thing is about. It sucked.
Really?
All beef hot dog. Like, I'm sure as far as beef hot dogs go, the Costco one is great. It's a foot long hot dog. You know, okay. And it's $1.50 for the hot dog and a drink.
I mean.
But I also want to say everyone at Costco and Atwater, why are you applying for a credit card just to get a free Costco cooler? It was insane. And they put it right at the front outside so that getting in was literally impossible. I had to, like, walk. I parked about as far away as you can, as I often do at Costco, because I just don't want to fight people. It's not like a Trader Joe's situation, but it could be. It could devolve into that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I had to walk. I got to the thing, and then there was no, like, there were, like, five or six carts, and then I was walking towards the carts and I felt the people around me also walking towards the carts.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all got split off. And then I stood there and I was like, oh, now there's no carts. And then I looked further down this parking lot and I was like, oh my God, there's a whole side parking lot I've never seen in my life. And I found a cart there. And then I walked in, and as I was buying, you know, what we needed, i.e. 3 pounds of cream cheese. It's not an exaggeration. And that's just for Bo to have his pills in, because he doesn't like pill pockets anymore. Some fruit and Wheat Thins. And then I went and waited in line, and then I got cut. Somebody cut me in line. This very old man with his wife, and I didn't bother. Like, there were 4 people behind me, and none of them said anything either, and I was like, whatever.
It was, like, too much hassle.
Yeah. And then finally got out of there. And it was chaotic. To the point where I was like, I don't like this.
I don't like that.
Costco.
We
like Costco, but that Costco has got to go.
Yeah.
Or they just got to stop giving out coolers at the front. It's crazy. I couldn't believe it. Like, I didn't know those free whatevers when you apply for a credit card actually enticed anybody.
Apparently,
it's like catnip. Predatory lending, everybody. It's the best. Mm. All right, we'll be right back, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are you ready to get active? Well, think Bombas. The better basics that take sweat-wicking, blister-preventing, friction-free movement seriously. Look, they finally admitted it. It's in the ad copy. Golfing is among the activities that Bombas is proud to be a part of. And nearly every time I golf, Bombas socks are a part of my golf game. In fact,
same for tennis, Matt.
I had to wear the high ones today because it was 37 degrees.
Wow. I bet you loved those soft, breathable materials.
I loved literally everything about them, including their fun bluish green color. Look, nice. I've been talking about Bombas forever, guys. Socks, underwear, t-shirts are the number 1, 2, and 3 most requested items in homeless shelters. And that's why for every comfy item you purchase, Bombas donates another comfy item to someone experiencing homelessness. Performance socks are made with technically advanced features like proprietary hex tech. Oh, that makes sense now that the hex is stitched in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it incorporates sweat-wicking.
See, the light bulb's
yarns.
Going off.
Supportive strategic zone cushioning, built-in ventilation to increase airflow. Bombas are a gym bag staple that are made to last and a golf bag staple. And if they experience any wear or tear, Bombas will replace them for life. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Hold the phone.
Wow.
But I was like, I got to get some socks replaced. And then I realized none of them are in need of replacement. Their performance socks are very colorful and comfortable, and you want to wear them even when you're not working out or hitting the links. No matter how you like to get active, Bombas has something for you. Gripper socks to help you stay balanced in Pilates and bar, or Dory's dad, whose favorite thing is socks that have grippers on the bottom. Left, right foot contoured running socks give you a perfect fit that won't slide in your shoe. Merino wool socks keep you comfy and supported all day while on the course, baby. Bombas has a 100% happiness guarantee. That means you're covered for life. Reach out anytime. Their happiness team will help facilitate easy returns, exchanges, or replacements. Go to bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS shopify.com/adventure and use the code adventure at checkout. Hello, we've returned.
Hello.
While we were gone, I joined another guild.
What?
Yep.
Which guild? It.
The Musicians Guild of Guitar Center. Is that a thing?
Wow. Okay.
Wow, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, we should also remind people that they can email us at dorianmatt@gmail.com or mattanddory@gmail.com. And our phone number is 413-461-BABY. And if you are the person who has signed us up for a million mailing lists, I hate you.
Someone has done that?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. I've had to block so many email addresses in the last couple days.
Maybe it just like got out there in some sort of data breach.
Maybe.
I don't know what the hell.
It seems to have maybe stopped. I think I might have like gotten all of them, but like, I bet it'll start up again tomorrow.
What else did I wanted to say to people listening regarding? Here's the thing that I didn't update anyone on. This feels like it should have been at the top of the show, but it wasn't. Dory accidentally got me into vinyl again. In a way that I don't know that she was prepared for.
I should have anticipated this.
So for my birthday, she got me the 20th anniversary. That's so crazy. 20th anniversary of Owen Verdon World, the Shins' first album. And then I was like, oh, why don't I have any other Shins on vinyl? So then I started to look into it, and then I'm like, oh, this one's blue. This is a orange vinyl version of Shoots to Narrow. I've got a marble version of Heartworms. I was like, oh, this is interesting. And then I started going, well, what else is out there? What do I need on vinyl, quote unquote? And then, of course, you know, this was also like the 50th anniversary of All Things Must Pass, the George Harrison record, that was coming out on vinyl. And I had pre-ordered that. And that shows up. And I was just like, well, this is interesting. So then I started listening to the records in our house with our regular turntable. And it was slow.
Mm-hmm. It was weird.
It was like, everything was like very, well, I mean, totally, it was off. Like, I would try to play my guitar with something and I was like, oh, this is like not working. And then it was playing a little fast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because then I tried to weigh it down with like a 9-volt battery to try to get it to slow down just enough. And I could get it to the right pitch with my finger. Anyway, I decided I needed a new turntable. So then I'm like looking into turntables and I was like, oh my God, everyone makes turntables again. It's bizarre. And then I was like, well, let me replace this turntable with at least this slightly decent turntable. And I did. And then I was like, oh, I wonder if I could play this in this. And then I was like, oh, I started playing it. I was like, I need a preamp for this thing. So then I had to go find a preamp because there's no. And I was just like, I have a office full of actual tube amplifiers, and I have to go buy a stupid preamp for a record player. I used to have a Gibson amp that was stereo, and you could plug. It also had a phone. You could plug in RCA cables for a turntable into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I never used it for that purpose, even though I probably should have. Anyway, I sold that amp. It's a 1961 STV-80, I believe. Anyway, that's not important. What is important now is that I'm sort of going through trying to find everything on vinyl. And then I was like, oh, you know, it'd be great on vinyl, the High Fidelity soundtrack. And then I was like, oh, they made it once in 2015 for Record Store Day on orange vinyl. So then I like find the oldest listing and make that guy an offer. And he's like, yes. Immediately accepts it. And then I was like, oh, I want. Like one of my favorite albums of all time is Fiona Apple's second album, When the Pawn. And then I had to track that down. That was out of print. Everything's like everything was like made briefly and then not. Mm-hmm. Or it's like Elvis Costello. What is it? His record, yeah, Costello Interactions. God, what's the name of the record? Anyway, that's gonna release coming up in September. So it's like either everything's about to be released or was released not long ago. Very briefly. I tracked down a copy of Odelay, Beck's second album, and I was like, oh, this is cool. And then I was like, oh my God, there's a blue one?
Oh boy. Welcome to Matt's Vinyl Podcast.
Hi, everyone. I'll review vinyl podcasts I just review podcasts about vinyl. I don't actually review vinyl.
I see.
Anyway, back to, thanks everybody. Now, Dory, say something.
All right. Well, yeah, I did not know that I was going to lead Matt down this road that we've all been down with Matt many times before with various...
The collector gene,
and sundry,
you know?
Collections.
Well, my
so
friend...
So I do, you know, I was very, like, I felt very gratified that, like, a gift that I'd gotten for Matt seemed to, like, really hit the mark because, you know... He's really hard to buy gifts for. And in fact, he admitted that he'd almost bought that album for himself.
I did.
Like a few days earlier.
I had just been like sort of looking into Shin's merch or something like that. And I was like,
yeah. So I just like happened to have gotten it for him. So I, you know, I was like very pleased with myself. And now I've like opened up this floodgate and I'm like, why did I buy that album?
Well, my friend Andy last in March or April, whatever the Kings of Leon, their album came out. He sent over, because he's their manager, he sent over all three or four versions of that album on vinyl. He sent it over to me, and I was, and he sent it to me also on cassette. They released a cassette of it too, and I replied to him. It's like, I feel very seen because of like my collector bug, like to have each version of the thing. Mm. Like this feels right, and then I sort of let it go and didn't think about it again until Dory struck that chord.
Oh, boy.
Because it was James Mercer. It was probably B minor.
All right, everyone. Let's hear from some more listeners. This is from Anonymous. Hi, Myra family. In addition to keeping up with your current episodes, I'm listening back to episodes when Dory was pregnant with Henry as I progress in my own pregnancy. As I listened to this week's episode, 35 Pregnancy Wise, I was surprised to hear you read an email I had sent.
What? Did you forget?
This was in the beginning of my divorce when I was going through a lot of self-doubt and a crisis of self-confidence. I just wanted to say that you guys gave me great advice, and even just hearing you sympathize with me was helpful. I did find a psychiatrist in addition to my therapist, and I also leaned into things I enjoyed doing, which led to my new marriage. I'm in such a better place now and so excited to be starting a family with someone who truly is my person. So anyways, thanks for helping this sad lady get through one of the most difficult times of her life.
I would like to know that you didn't say it in the email, but I'm guessing you found him while you guys were at a record shop because you collect vinyl now.
Anonymous, this is so cool. This is very gratifying. And
it's wild to think about the fact that we were doing that podcast 35 weeks into you being pregnant with Henry. She has had time to... That's how long ago
yeah.
that was.
She's had time to get fully divorced, meet someone, and marry them.
Yeah, so if you're listening to this podcast right now and you're kind of in a shitty space, just know that down the line, we'll still be here, and your life will be very different.
Ours will be exactly the same.
Ours will be fairly similar.
Hopefully, Henry will be potty trained.
And which guild will I be in then?
Who knows? Hey, guess what? We have some voicemails.
Oh, I was not ready for that.
I was not either.
But I can be, fairly quickly. Those people who left voicemails, obviously, they called the 414, what is it again?
413-461-BABY?
Yeah.
Wow.
I just wanted to say the phone number again. Sound professional, but, you know, alas.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
For doing that. So last week we had heard from a listener who was wondering about exercising post-transfer. Do you recall this?
Yes, the EPT.
Yes. So we heard from a couple of people about this.
Hi, Matt. Hi, Dory. This is Erin calling from Portland, Oregon. I'm very, first of all, I want to just give you my gratitude for your podcast, for sharing your journey. It is difficult to do, and sharing that journey also in your book, Dory. Bought the book, pre-ordered it. I heard other people call in saying they pre-ordered it for their friends. I am ordering them for my friends, but missed that pre-order mark. And I'm sorry that you guys had a rough flight travels and rough transfer information and rough not making the New York Times bestseller list. But you made such a good effort on all of those things, and just sending lots of love. And thank you again for sharing your journey. It's hard to do. But anyway, I had to pause the pod because of the person I called in asking about post-transfer exercise. Completely agree with you, Dory, that if you're going to second guess it, just take those 10 days and, you know, just do what you can to be relaxed. And I also am pretty athletic and active and have a hard time sitting still, especially for anxiety. I also like to run and bike everywhere and had a hard time, you know, with all of the pauses on exercise as well. But just wanted to chime in that I went through several acupuncturists, or just a couple that I was kind of back and forth between. And that last transfer, we had a new doctor, a new acupuncturist, all kind of at the last minute. We were like, oh, wow, all these new things. And it was the transfer that actually took. And the acupuncturist is just wonderful at fertility, and she actually recommended that I do a minimum of 4 to 5 days of bed rest afterwards with like a 30 to 45 degree angle. You know, I could sit and watch movies and read. And I actually, even with my active lifestyle, loved it. I just sat there and ate my pineapple and palm juice and good foods and chocolate cake. And I think I read Eat, Pray, Love, or watched Eat, Pray, Love or something. Just something just that I could just slip away into and be lost in. And I remember, Dory, you doing some post-transfer TV show or movie watching, and it's just like after having actually I have had a successful transfer, and that was, and it was wonderful. And after having that, I'm hoping to transfer my second embryo and know that anything could happen, but kind of look self-care time I get. So anyway, it was actually lovely, and I enjoyed it far more than I thought. Also, I wanted to chime in to someone who called in about progesterone shot help. One thing that worked for me is, like, you go to the doctor and you get this blood drawn and you all the time, and you have to do all these tests, and then you have to take all these shots. And I told my husband, I was like, I deserve a lollipop. Why is there not a lollipop at the doctor's office? And he's like, you're right. And we created a chocolate jar for me.
She called back because she ran out of time.
By the way,
this is Erin.
She can host this podcast. It's fine.
Again, and I went over, but I just wanted to say that my husband created a chocolate jar for me, and I got a little tiny, you know, like 1-inch square chocolate, dark chocolate, every time I got a shot. So that really helped with that. It also helped preparing the needles myself to get over a fear of needles. Didn't like doing it, but, you know, it helped. I still didn't do most of my shots. I was like you, Dory. I just did one when I was out of town by myself. So, anyway, lots of gratitude towards you and Matt and sharing your story through the good and the bad, and helping, really helping to get through this. I also heard about the podcast from my geneticist. So good job, you guys, and have been listening almost from the beginning. And also regarding the yoga post transfer, on the Facebook group, someone posted a lovely, yoga poses for that 2-week wait. And I did that. It felt really good. So maybe check out the Facebook group. It's just kind of some easy little poses we can do to just kind of, even just listening to the person on the video was helpful, knowing that we're all going through this together. So good luck to everyone out there. Just happy to hear more updates from New Mountain Dory. 1,300 square foot house in Portland, Oregon, with a wild, anxious dog and our 8-month-old science baby. Thank you so much for helping him be in this world with us. Bye.
We take all the credit in the world. So you're welcome.
Thank you for this.
Guys, chocolate jar.
Chocolate jar.
That's my takeaway.
All right. We heard from another listener about this. So here we go.
Hi, Matt and Dory. I was just pausing the pod to reply to the woman who called in about not being able to exercise after her transfer, just to kind of offer sympathy. My clinic always said don't exercise, and it took us 4 transfers to get pregnant. So I think the whole year that we were going through IVF was a real start and stop as far as physical activity. And just to kind of echo Dory's sentiment, it sucks, especially if you are somebody who likes to use, you know, physical activity as stress relief. It was definitely difficult for me to try to figure out, now that I couldn't go to yoga and I couldn't run, how to deal with those things. You know, especially since throughout our, like, 9-year fertility odyssey, that's what I always did, was run and go to yoga. And kind of similar to Dory, once I was cleared and I kind of was a little bit more active, I had some spotting that just absolutely terrified me. And for most of my pregnancy, I didn't do anything besides walk, for the same reason that if something had happened, I would blame myself. Even if it wasn't because of the exercise, I knew it would be in my head that way. It definitely sucks. And I'm not going to lie, now that I'm, you know, 6-7 months postpartum, it's not fun to get back into shape. But, you know, kind of like what Dory said, like, it really is a short amount of time in your life. You'll get there eventually, you know, and at the end of the day, like, I'm never going to have the body that I had before I had my little boy, but I would rather have him than a 6-pack. So, you know, it's definitely worth it. Mm. So this is Jeff with about 1,100 square feet, a year-old Australian Shepherd, an old cranky cat, and a 6-month-old science baby. Oh, and hot dogs, probably more than I should have had, because once I was allowed to eat them again, I gorged on hot dogs. Smith's hot dogs, which are a regional thing in Northwest Pennsylvania, and I highly recommend them.
All right. I like a hot dog recommendation.
I like a regional hot dog recommendation.
Well, you know, I wasn't aware of how divided the country was on hot dog brands, you know?
Yeah.
It's like there are some national brands, like your Ballparks and your Nathan's.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
It really does seem like all the good brands are regional.
Mm-hmm.
Man,
it does.
Love a bucket of KM Natural Casing. Or Essam's. Yes'm, it's Essam.
Oh yeah, I remember that. All right, let's take another break.
Okay, we'll be right back, everybody.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, everyone. We're back.
Hello.
Exciting news. If you're streaming things, Amazon Prime, Garth Marenghi's Dark Place is available now streaming on Prime. As I was saying to Dory, it's why I bought a region-free DVD player.
But didn't watch it on DVD.
Didn't watch it on DVD. Or Blu-ray. I don't know. Whatever.
All right. Well, we have another voicemail.
Think so. Go ahead and hit that button that will play that thing.
It's not playing now.
Are you plugged in?
What do you mean, am I plugged in?
Like, you know, to the world, baby.
Yeah.
You plugged in?
I'm plugged in.
You know
in.
What's happening out there? Are you plugged in?
Oh, boy. All right, let's try this again.
All right. How? Hey, we did it.
Hi, Matt and Dory, longtime listener. I've got a science baby that was born just a few days before Henry. So I'm so thankful for all of the experiences you've shared with us. I'm calling hoping that you can put out a signal for me. My very best friend for, you know, 20 plus years has a 5-year-old and a 4-month-old. And about 6 weeks ago, went through a really, really terrible, totally unexpected episode of postpartum psychosis. And she was hospitalized involuntarily for 3 weeks, which was devastating for all of us, obviously particularly for her. And she was breastfeeding and had to stop doing that, and that was really important to her. And it's just been really terrible. And so she's obviously still receiving treatment now that she's out of the hospital. But I'm really calling to see if there's anyone who has been in this situation before and come out the other side of it that can talk a little bit about, one, sort of what that's like, and two, what people who are closest to you can do to really help support. I've been through my own sort of bumps, you know, in the road with IVF and parental loss and things like that, but never anything quite like this. And I just want to make sure that I'm doing absolutely everything I can to support my best friend, because she's unbelievable and has been there for me through so many ups and downs. And I just want to be there for her. So if you're able to share that signal, I would really appreciate it. I am two adults and one science toddler in approximately 4,000 square feet outside of the Toronto area. And we also have a 65-pound Bernedoodle, who is a delight. Zero hot dogs, just definitely zero, always zero. And I really appreciate everything you do. Thanks.
Thank you for the message. The signal's out.
The signal has gone out. I'm sorry that your friend
was going through that.
Yeah.
Side note, I knew you were Canadian before you said that. That's just me.
I did too.
I'm a dialect expert. Thank you.
I did too. All right. This is from Molly. Dear Matt and Dory, listening to episode 341, I had to pause the pod to write to you. Dory, I related so much to your stress about feeling like Henry should be able to entertain himself more. I sometimes wonder if some of my favorite parenting philosophies and experts end up making me more stressed out. The idea that kids should be able to entertain themselves is so awesome, but I think sometimes I get really down on myself that my son isn't doing it more. And then it's like I'm adding guilt and worry onto a situation that is already kind of annoying. Maybe entertaining themselves should be a goal, but not a standard. And even those 5 seconds or 2 minutes that they do it should count as a win. It was funny to listen to you and Matt discussing it, because I imagine he hasn't been steeped as much in some of that advice. So he was like, why does this bother you? Are you just really tired? Love you guys in the pod. Thanks for all you do. You are great parents. Molly in 650 square feet in Brooklyn with two adults, two kids, and one cat.
Jesus Christ. 650 square feet.
Maybe three veggie dogs this year.
Oh my God. Whatever. You're in Brooklyn. The city's your living room.
I mean, you know, they probably don't have a lot of stuff.
Maybe they're right next to the park or something. Or like a couple blocks from it.
And they probably don't have a lot of stuff.
I mean, 650. That's twice the size of this room.
Uh-huh.
I mean, where are you guys going to sleep? This is my room.
Wow. Yeah, Molly, it's funny because this weekend he was playing a lot more by himself than he had been.
You know, it's interesting. I'm, you know, just watching him as a just develop as a human being. I feel like the articulation of the language, I think, is putting him, is giving him peace of mind in a way, where he's like, okay, yeah, all right, they understand.
Mm-hmm.
And like, now I'm going to go do my thing.
Mm. That's interesting.
Well, it's like when we were driving today to the park and you asked him to use his words, because he kept going, mm-mm, and we didn't
know what that meant.
We were like, what? Because I like wasn't looking at him. I was driving. And he wanted a snack. We finally said snack. But he said sack. And I was like, you want a sack of what? And then you deciphered it was snack. And he was hungry. But yeah, it's like that kind of communication has not been possible previously.
Right.
So I think.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about it quite like that. That it's like it makes his life less stressful because yes. He can actually communicate what he needs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if he needs water, if he needs, you know, whatever, or if he like needs Dita far away, like I know that means he needs me to go hit a ball really far away. far away, far away.
You know what else is really sweet is like, I'm also seeing that like he's absorbed so much. Like when they say like, oh, they are absorbing stuff, but like you don't see the result of it for a long time. But like tonight in the bath, we have these colored soap, like
Crayola
soap. Like finger paint soap, in different colors, and he wanted one, and I handed it to him, and he said, "Thank you, Mama."
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, you know, we've never made him say please or thank you, but like we try to model it. And like,
well, tonight for the first time ever, he said just on his own, "Night, nice, Dita."
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, bud.
It's like crazy to just like start seeing all that stuff happen.
Yes. And also like the other day, he tried to put a 9-volt battery on the turntable because he had seen me do that when I was trying to slow down the broken turntable.
Oh, that's so funny.
So, you know, it's all interesting. Just what? Also, now when I pick him up and take him out of my office, he always says, "Hi, pool."
he says
hello to the pool. Now, of course, as I know from being a person who did not have kids forever, listening to people talk about funny things their kids say is annoying, and we're sorry.
But this is a podcast about us and our child, so.
I know. Big new news.
Big new news. All right, here is another voice memo.
Hey, Matt and Dory, it's Danielle. I'm from New Zealand. I was going to email.
I knew that.
I thought Matt might get a kick out of my accent. So
I do.
Have at it. I've been listening to you guys since the beginning, and I think right near the beginning,
it's like Taika Waititi called
an email of mine, and I was about
yes,
to have
it's exactly like that
to see whether the last transfer we were ever going to do stuck. And she's now 4 and doing art and sneezing in the corner. I just wanted to stop the pod and have a quick chat about the boundaries and individual play and stuff like that that you mentioned with Henry. I wouldn't worry about it too much, though. I know how annoying
Henry
it is when he's just following you around and you just need like a moment to yourself to maybe put a bra on. But it does come. They will follow you and it's fine. What I started to do I would go into another room to do whatever
she's
I needed
making
to do. And she followed me. I didn't always have to pay 100% attention to her. And and she kind of got the message. She might just play around or, you know, go investigate something else or might ask a question, but you don't have to answer them 100% of the time. Now that she's 4, probably from when she started to be 3, 4, the individual play really does kick in, and, you know, she'll spend like a good half hour or whatever by herself. If I leave the room, she'll stay where she is. She's now starting to go and up into her bedroom and play by herself as well. So that's actually really cool to see that develop. It comes with age. At the moment, he just wants to be around you guys all the time. He doesn't understand the separation, especially since you guys have been in lockdown for so long and haven't really been out or going to nursery or anything like that. So it will come, don't worry. Don't need to worry about boundaries or anything at this age. I don't think it would work, to be honest, at least not from my experience. We live in a, I don't know, feet. So we're doing a 200 square meter house in Auckland, north of Auckland rather, near the beach, which is lovely. No hot dogs because that's not really part of our culture. Quite a few sausages though. I don't know if that counts. It probably doesn't.
It doesn't. You're right.
Anyway, love to you all.
Thank you. It's good to hear a Kiwi.
Mm-hmm. My old Pilates instructor was from New Zealand and she really sounded like her.
Yeah, I mean, like the that it just the I don't know, it just sort of makes everything sound a little more relaxed.
Well, they're relaxed because they know that, you know, they'll be protected when climate change affects everywhere else in the world.
Well, you know, look, more power to them.
Yeah. All right. Moving on.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have another voice memo.
This is lovely and out of control.
I know. I love that so many people sent us voice memos this week.
Did I guilt them?
Hello, everyone. Yes. Oh, okay. I just wanted to send this message after your last podcast because I just laughed so hard when I was listening to Matt describe his morning. That sounds exactly like every single outing I have with my boy. I think Eli and Henry would be fast friends. He is 1 month younger than Henry, and right down to he hates seeing the garbage cans left open, and pretty much everything you described was Eli to a T. I also don't ever take Henry to the kids' clothing section of Target because Eli loves to pull everything off of the shelves and the hangers off the walls, and he just thinks that is the most hilarious thing in the world, watching me pick it up as he's pulling the next set off. I was wondering if you guys have a balance bike for him, because we had one for my older girl, and she just hated it. She was too scared of the wobbliness of it, but Eli has been using one for the last few months and just absolutely loves it. He is practically gliding on his own now. I think if we did it more, he'd probably already be gliding. So you might think about getting a balance bike if that's something Henry might be into. The other quick thing, while I have you on the phone, I figured I'd update you. I called a while ago, some months ago. I was the lady whose husband put a bug in her ear about having a third kid. And then we went to try to go through IVF. And actually, my insurance, we thought my insurance wasn't going to approve it because my numbers were so terrible. But I'm 40. I just turned 40 this week, actually. But we actually ended up going through two cycles of IVF. We got approved for two. And in both of them, I either ended up with zero eggs or one egg that basically disintegrated when they tried to inject it with the sperm. So results did not end up too good there. We were considering donor egg for a while. And I encourage people who are considering donor egg to join the donor conception group out there. And it took me a few months to really not be completely scared of the idea after listening to Donor Conceive People. But I also listened to a few different podcasts, Fertility. Oh, shoot. Now I'm not remembering the names of them. But one of them is Jana Rupnow. Her podcast gets a lot of different perspectives. And it was really, really helpful to hear all these different perspectives on donor conception. Ultimately, I think we decided, I'm at a point now where we decided that we're just done. So we've got the two kids. I'm sort of moving on. And I don't think I'll ever be able to kind of look at a new baby or look at a pregnant lady and not have a little bit of resentment, but that they got to choose to do that. But at the same time, I'm happy with my two kids, and we're sort of just moving on with our family as is. I'm kind of happy to be done with each little stage. I can't imagine being up all night again with another one. So I'm happily enjoying the moments we have. All right. Thank you for listening, and good luck with all your decisions and about another one and all of that. And I love listening to your podcasts, and I loved both of your books, and I look forward to whatever you're doing next. Thank you.
Both of Dory's books. I have not written a book, in case that sentence was unclear.
What if you had?
I'd be like, oh yeah, I never told you.
Yeah. Also, she emailed to clarify that the podcast...
I'm John Grisham.
Oh. Shouldn't we be richer?
We are. I have a house I've been keeping from you.
Oh, okay.
It's full of my stuff.
I mean, that does not surprise me. The podcast... She emailed to say that the podcast she mentioned is actually called Infertility Feelings. It's not the Jana Rupnow podcast.
All right. Everyone find out what that podcast is. What else is she listening to? Who knows?
Who knows? All right. This is from Lauren. Hi there. I'm having a wonderful Sunday morning reading Dory's book, and I just got to the part where you both go to Disneyland on a second date. I was so stunned. What an expensive second date. did Matt pay for the ticket? I feel like after that, it made sense for you to go to New York together. I'm wondering what that situation was like from Matt's point of view.
Where is this?
It's the next one.
Oh, I'm like, Jory's making up an email.
Doesn't... Did he also have an immediate good feeling about Dory? Like, what's he thinking? This girl is the one. I'm going to snatch her up by taking her to Disneyland. My husband and I bonded over a love of Disneyland, so I really loved reading about this moment. I hope I don't sound judgmental. I was just thinking that Matt must have been serious from the start since he decided on Disneyland for a second date. Anyway, you both are the best. Lots of love to Henry and Beau. No hot dogs, 1,500 square feet in Burbank with a husband, baby, and a very anxious dog named Leroy.
I did pay for the... I was a TV writer.
I think you also had an annual pass.
Yeah, I had an annual pass, and I was a single TV writer, so right. I had money.
Yeah.
And was living in a townhouse that cost, what did it cost? It was like $2,350 a month. Oh, those are the days.
Which, you know, is
a lot to some people, but in Los Angeles, it's... You
know, yeah, for how big that apartment was, it was not a lot.
Two floors, baby.
Yeah.
Two floors. I had stairs. Can you believe it?
Wow.
Anyway, yes, I paid. And did I? Yes, I did. I had the same feeling Dory had. I'm also trying to remember. I feel like I talked to Kula about it. And I think that was before New York. So that must have been like that Thursday or Friday.
Hmm.
But yes, I remember saying to him, I was like, I think I met someone. I think I'm good. And I think, and there we go. So yes. But like the Disneyland of it all was only because she had never been, which was wild to me. I was like, you live in Los Angeles? You've never been to
Disneyland? I'd only lived here for a year.
Still wild to me that in the year, one of the things you didn't do was go to Walt's original park.
It's one of the things I didn't do.
It's unbelievable.
Well, you took me there.
We've rectified that, and we have been three more times. Isn't that crazy?
Is that really how... Well, we've been to Disney World also.
Yeah. But that once, twice.
Twice.
But that doesn't count. It is funny. It is funny. I mean, if I could go back in time to that moment and go, oh, by the way, you guys, you'll get married. You have a kid. That's great. But you're only going to go to Disneyland in the next 5 years, two more times.
That's not true. We definitely went more than that. We went because we went.
Did we go with Chris? Did we go with Hardwick? I don't.
No, you went with Hardwick.
Yeah, I went with. Huh. I don't think we went more than two more times. We went the two times with Henry.
I feel like we went another time, just the two of us.
Interesting.
I'm 99% sure that we did.
All right. Well, obviously, it's the most memorable place ever. We definitely remember going that time.
Okay. Our last email is from our pal, Julia Schulenberg.
Also, that was like pre-IVF. So just think about the extra money we all had.
I mean, lol, sob.
That was when Dory and I met, and I had no credit cards. Also,
mm-hmm.
Oh, I was living the life.
Mm-hmm.
Just me and a Volvo and a townhouse. Let's enjoy that for a little bit longer, just for a second. Okay, we're back. Hi, everyone.
Julia writes, good afternoon, Dory and Matt. Meyer is actually Dutch. The only reason I know this is because I grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and went to high school with the grandson of the founder, who was a year behind me. She's referring to the grocery store. M-E-I-J-E-R. I assume it's pronounced Meyer. I don't know.
Yeah. Yes.
And Julia.
Oh, because I talked about Mjolnir. Yeah.
Is in 840 square feet with one cat, one husband, and a total hot dog consumption this year of 12.
Whoa, a dozen dogs. That's two packs of buns.
Yep.
And with four left over.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, activate for some reason.
Yeah.
If you're like working for Big Bun, why wouldn't you just put out a 12 pack and be like, we've done it. High five each other in your lab coats.
Did you just say Big Bun?
Yeah. We're out there working for Big Bun.
Oh boy. Okay. That's it.
Well, that was an exciting wrap up.
It was. Show
and to our Disneyland adventures.
Yep.
Thanks for listening, everyone. If you want to support the show, you can do so by getting on board that Patreon train.
Where there's a lot of back episodes.
A lot of back episodes. New podcasts coming out every month. We got two to do this month. And you can get those by supporting the show. If you do so at the $5 level, not only do you get one additional podcast every month, but you get your name read on the show as a thank you. And you can get up to two podcasts every month. Head over. Find out how. Patreon.com/excellent adventure. Now a thanks to Cheryl Quick. Christina.
Claire Dealey.
Crescent Martin.
Crypto Matt.
Danielle Nutriforo.
Deanna McLean.
That's right. Eleanor Powell.
Elizabeth Kay.
Ellen Amp.
Emily Harden.
Freya.
Gita Drury.
Heather.
Jane Ennis.
Jennifer Sika.
Jennifer T. Brennan.
Jenny Fick.
Jesse Fisher.
Jesse Labatty.
Labatty?
I'm going to say Labatty.
Janani.
Because, like, if like you show up in a movie.
You're Labatty.
Yeah. Joanna Reinwald.
Karen Perelman.
Katie Allen.
Carrie L.
And Kristen Anderson. Thank you all so very much. We'll see you next week.
Bye.